For those of you this morning that like to follow on a tablet or a phone, we are using the words from John's Gospel, chapter 1, and it's verses 29 to 51. And if I had to put a title on this morning's message, it would be, "The Cleaner Our Hearts, the Better We See." The next day, John, and this is John the Baptist, not John the writer. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That is vision, my friends. That is vision. This is the one I meant when I said, "A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Amen. If you've ever been driving a car and trying to see through a dirty windscreen, you probably appreciate washer fluid and wipers that work. For mud, mist, fog can make a journey dangerous, and you appreciate the washer fluid and the wipers. You've got to keep your heart clean as well as the windscreen. If you're not sure how, consider the example of John the Baptist and those who recognized Jesus as a Messiah. John lived in the desert, and until he appeared publicly to Israel, and he says, I did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. John would baptize with water, but Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. And of course, the fulfillment of that was the sending of the Holy Spirit to the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And you know, you can reflect on the situation that many people observed Jesus when he walked around on earth, but few truly saw him. Now, the forms of look, see and behold occur 18 times in the 22 verses that we have written and taken. And most of us know about the calling of the first disciples that Jesus gathered unto himself. And a lot of the time there is a greater awareness of the so-called big hitters, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, both fishermen, the brothers James and John, also fishermen, Matthew, a tax collector, and even Judas Iscariot, who would go on to betray Jesus. And Peter, James, and John would go on to lead churches and were big characters and big hitters. But not all of Jesus' disciples were big characters. They were just like you and I. If you remember the last time that Andy was up here, and he spoke in his last sermon about Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 1, where it says, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two to go ahead of them to the ground that he would come to. So today we're going to look at Philip and Nathanael, two of the lesser known ones. And in my NIV Bible, the whole passage that we've read today is split into three parts. The first part is Jesus, the Lamb of God. The second part is Jesus' first disciples. And the final part is Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. And each of those three passages starts with the next day. Jesus didn't mess about. He kept going. In John chapter 1, 29 to 51, which we have read, is clearly about vision, but perhaps not the ordinary kind. After being asked to come and see the prophesied one, Nathanael declares Jesus to be the Son of God and the King of Israel. That is vision. What's your vision for this church and for this community? Is your heart pure? How would you describe a pure heart? The passage tells of numerous people who saw God in the form of Jesus. Describing a pure heart in verse 47, Jesus says of Nathanael, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." When two of John's disciples hear him testifying about the Savior, they follow him. I love it that the disciple Andrew, the first thing he did was to go and find his brother Peter. I'm just going to move to one side a bit because the air conditioner is blowing my sheets. Many scriptures in the Bible show that listening to godly people can help hear from God, whereas ignoring their counsel could result in missed blessings. The cleaner our hearts, the greater our growth. Now, the idea of growth might seem unrelated in the passage that we've read, but we hear nothing prior weaknesses of either John the Baptist or Nathanael. The Lord's promise that the disciples will see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man refers to Jacob's dream in the Old Testament of a ladder from heaven with angels going up and coming down. And Jacob certainly did not start out with a pure heart. His name means deceiver. And he cheated his brother Esau out of his father's blessing. But in his dream, Jacob saw God, who made him that great promise. While he wasn't an entirely an honest man, Jacob knew that he had seen God and eventually honored God and vowed to serve him. There are no barriers with Jesus, even in the darkest places. Now, Bethesda was a wicked place. It was near the Sea of Galilee on the northeastern shore. And Philip the Tetrarch had rebuilt Bethesda and named it Julius, after Julia, the daughter of Caesar Augustus. And even though it was a wicked place, there was still a remnant by God's grace, as Philip came from there. as also Simon Peter and Andrew did as well. It doesn't matter where you live, Jesus can use you. You just need to be open to him. We see through the New Testament that Jesus, he gathered all sorts of people with weaknesses, just like you and I. And we can get so caught up sometimes when we think that we're not good enough or we couldn't do that. When Philip told Nathanael, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael's objection made about Nazareth, can any good come from there? The short reply that Philip gave was, come and see. Not go and see, but come and see, and I will take you. That's very much how it is today. We don't force an issue that will end up turning people away. We're here to encourage and gently and compassionately help people to discover the love of Jesus. It was Philip's wisdom, when he could not answer Nathanael's objection himself, that he would have him go to the one who could. When we look at the Bible, that we can see that everyone has flaws in what they said and in what they did. But still, God used them. Prophets, kings, princes, prostitutes, fishermen, tax collectors, ordinary people, people with deficiency, blindness, dumbness, disease. Jesus can use all of them. We see here today that Jesus is starting to gather together a bunch of people who would become his disciples. Before Philip called Nathanael, Jesus saw him under the fig tree, which shows that Jesus has knowledge of us before we even have knowledge of him. What Jesus did there for Philip was to, and Nathanael as well, was to raise the hopes and expectations to further and greaterness. And Jesus can do exactly the same for you and I today. Jesus encourages us. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up." And in the New Testament, encourage means to call to one side. The Christian life is not one of isolation and independence, but of relationship and interconnection. We walk together, side by side. Although some of us are more outgoing than others, we can each express encouragement in our own way. We have no idea what impact our gracious words, our sound advice, or acts of kindness that can just reach out to another person. The Bible is filled with love. It begins with the mighty acts of creation, separating light from darkness, and creating every living thing, including you and I. And even after Adam and Eve sin, God still loved. He never faltered, and he doesn't even today. And through the wilderness, the promised land, and into exile, God remained faithful. Even when Israel doubted, and when they disobeyed, God remained faithful and carried them through all manner and suffering. He was there with them all the time. But he didn't stop there, as Scripture tells us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish and have eternal life. Now, I've spoken before about batteries, about how they have a negative and a positive point. And it's a bit like us, we're no different. We have positive times, we have negative times. And these batteries can range from hearing aid batteries to AA batteries, AAA batteries, C batteries, D batteries, 6-volt batteries. Unfortunately, Andy, I couldn't bring any tools to get the battery out of my car. Otherwise, that would have been on stage as well. There's the flashlight. But you see, the problem is that with all of these batteries, they don't last forever. If you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit is within you, it will remain with you there forever. So what happens when the light glows dim or quits? Do you just throw it away? Of course not. You change the batteries. When a person messes up or finds themselves in a dark place, do you just cast them aside? Of course not. You help them change the batteries. Some people need AA. And that stands for attention and affection. Some people need AAA, which is attention, affection, and acceptance. Some people need C, compassion. And some people need D, and that is direction. And if they still don't seem to shine, simply sit with them quietly and let your light shine. If you fail, never give up. Because fail, F-A-I-L, stands for First Attempt in Learning. End is not the end. In fact, end, E-N-D, means effort never dies. And if you get no as an answer, remember that N-O stands for next opportunity. I believe that this year is a year of encouragement for all of us. You know, here we are today, all together, and we're right at the end of the very first month of 2023. Time is marching on. And this year we will have challenges like we have many other years. That will still happen. But I encourage you to support one another in whatever way that you can. And I think just, you know, within the whole sort of fellowship, we've got the well, we've got the care in the community, we have the children's work, tea and coffee, music and sound. The one thing that I always think, you know, if you can help out on something like that, you are never on your own. You're always with someone who knows what the job is. You're never sort of chucked in the deep end and you've got to fend for yourself. It doesn't work like that. You're always with somebody. We're here to encourage and support one another. Jesus encouraged his disciples. They didn't always understand straight away what he was talking about, what he meant. But in the private times, he explained things to them. He encouraged them. And he's encouraging every single one of you here today. So I pray for each one of you that this coming week, that it will keep you in good health, that you will be the light that Jesus wants you to be wherever you may go, and that through it, when you bless others, you in turn will be blessed as well. So have a great and generous, encouraging time this coming week. Amen.